If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
Before we get to today's show, have you seen the amazing containers that cannabis and hemp products come in these days? I'm talking about those amazing joint tubes you carry around in your pocket or the cool containers edible products come in now. There's a revolution in packaging happening around the cannabis industry. In fact, it's already happened. Our new sponsor, KushCo, is largely responsible for incredible innovations that are so useful, well, we take them for granted. But these packages have to comply with strict guidelines, be childproof, and all other sorts of regulations. Kush is on top of that. I guess they are really good at what they do because they've sold over a billion units of stuff to more than 5,000 legally operated medical and adult use dispensaries, growers, and producers across North America, South America, and Europe. Check out their site at kushco.com/podcast for more information. The show starts now.
The kids called him Miss Marie. A painter without brushes, she instead uses a body. Cool, and she moves with grace and ease. But it had been a while since she had felt a heartbeat. Man smiled at Miss Marie, but she kept our lure alive, forever fond of its tasting. I guess this never deterred me, because for a while we danced, just me and Miss Marie. We spun each other round, then around, round, round, and high above the clouds, never to be found. I swam inside of blue eyes and almost drowned, spinning each other around and round, round and round, round, round. I always knew that Miss Marie, she'd wind up in these songs, the shadow of tragedy, a parting tarnished memory. From a time when I loved something so much more than I loved me, I spun myself around, and around, round, round, and high above the clouds, never to be found. I swam inside of blue eyes and almost drowned, spinning myself around and around and around, round, round, round. Asked her, Miss Marie, they wanted to know why she loved dancing. She said she never felt that free, 'cause when she had aligned her body, mind, and feet, she spinning herself round and around, round, round, and high above the clouds, never to be found. She stared into the vastness and almost drowned, spinning herself around and around, around, round, round, round. What kind of light now?
You've been listening to Miss Marie by the Little Smokies off their 2017 release, Changing Shades. The progressive bluegrass band has been around since 2009 and has gone through some personnel changes, but have pretty much solidified their lineup since 2015. One of the newest members of the band is Matt Rev Rieger, a strapping grizzled guitar player whose stellar picking and strumming certainly adds to the band's sound. We caught up with the Rev chillin' ahead of a grueling tour schedule that sees the band on the road for most of January through March. Our conversation started when I asked Rev about his involvement as a fairly new member of the band when they made Changing Shades.
There are some tunes on that record that were played for a very long time. Some of them were fairly new as Jake and I were involved in the writing process, and one of them, I believe, came together more or less in the studio. So it's a mix of all those things. Some of the classics are that Might As Well, Miss Marie, and a number of them were played for a long time prior to the recording. But all of them they're perpetually changing in the little ways, and so they certainly have the. You can hear the new players, Jake and I. You can hear what was there with the old group, but it's ever changing. And every day the live show is, more or less we play the same songs, but they're different every night in some way, shape, or form.
So let's talk about the live performance, because I think that's where people get to hear you and know your sound and understand what you're all about. It's the five of you on stage. You are a traditional bluegrass band, but you play a little harder, and you fit into the mold of so many of the other bands that are your contemporaries right now. You're not you're a traditional bluegrass band in terms of instrumentation, but you guys rock pretty hard for a bluegrass band. Was that always your intention, or what you thought you were getting yourself into when you joined this band?
Thank you again for the kind words. I didn't know what I was getting into when I joined this group, and I really enjoyed that very much, coming in and not really being certain. When I first agreed to play with the group, I don't think that I'd actually heard them play as a group. We played around the campfire together. But I knew that they were something special. I knew that they had a lot of momentum, and I knew they were great fellas, and that was enough for me. I didn't need to have any musical expectations. They gave me the record, and I knew that right away, upon listening to it, that there was a reverence for and an appreciation of traditional, but the influences were vast, and that it wouldn't be confined to strictly traditional forms and ideas. And I appreciated that very much immediately upon listening to it, and knew that wherever we would go as a group, I would have my place and I would have fun doing it. And so it was a no-brainer listening to it. Like, we got to do this. But yes, there are traditional elements, and I think those are important. Much like any art form, respect and homage to the traditional, but also evolving in your own way is basically what art is.
Right. there seems to be an evolution in the art form, not just from you guys, but from many of the bluegrass bands who find themselves moving in the direction of newgrass, or even, dare I say, playing electrical instruments and moving into, you know, a more folky rock kind of situation. Do you see Little Smokies moving that way, or are you bound to the tradition of bluegrass and kind of what got you to where you are today?
Sure. I think I don't consider ourselves to be bound to anything, but I think what we're always going to do is play the music that speaks to us. And recently that has included a few more effects and pedals and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the only thing that will keep us in the traditional is that we really have a love for those sounds. And right. We want to pay respect to the traditional, but we're always going to pursue music that provides us with gratification, with artistic gratification, stuff that moves us. And I think that's appropriate for an artist to feel gratified. They will perform better, they will perform with, and they will write and produce better material if they are satisfied with what they're doing and feeling good about it. And so I think that's what we're always going to do, and I'd like to think take our fans on a bit of a journey. Uh-huh. And I don't know what the future holds
right.
in terms of other instruments and effects, but I know that we will be pursuing what we love, and it happens to be, generally speaking, acoustic instruments.
Speaking of the traditional and the classic, you have covered two gigantic classic rock songs, classic pop songs, in Paperback Writer and Rocket Man. I'm curious about two things. One, what made you guys decide to cover these two songs? Because there are, you know, often covers in set lists, particularly of those that particularly in bands to round out sets, but also because you probably want to experiment and with taking classic songs and reimagining them with the instrumentation that you have at your disposal. So what was it about Paperback Writer and Rocket Man that made you put the two songs down and record them?
Sure. I think I can't speak to the early stages of Little Smokies playing Rocket Man. I was not there.
Right.
But I can assume it was similar to our inspiration to play Paperback, in that we, most of us, you know, we grew up listening to classic rock as kids. It was a big fan pop. It was a part of our life early on, and that nostalgia lives in all of us when you hear those songs, you know, and with Paperback Writer specifically, it doesn't matter which Beatles song I hear. If I hear the Beatles, I'm automatically in a good place and in it, or I feel good things, because they're so important to me. And we wanted to do a Beatles song, but we also wanted to do one that we could do justice with. You know, we wanted to be respectful.
Right.
And it takes a long time sometimes to come up with that tune. And Paperback, it was a year and a half of searching for the right Beatles tune for us, and then it finally happened. And once you get everyone on board, and once everyone's excited about it, the rest is easy. The arrangement just happens. We're getting to know each other very well as people and musicians, and the arrangement for Paperback came so quickly and easily. And that's, I think, a sign of a good cover, too, is when you're able to come together around a common nostalgia for that tune, surrounding that tune, and then when you're able to execute it, it just kind of falls together. I think that's generally the best sign. And it did happen so easily with Paperback, and I was thrilled with the way it came out.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. It's stunning.
Thank you.
Is there an opportunity when you recorded that? Did you record other material as well? Are we looking for a new record anytime soon, or is that something that you want to take your time with before you just sit in the studio and make another record?
We actually have some more covers coming for you, slowly and surely. We did 6 total, and they will be released over the next few months. We also have we recently recorded a live record.
Yep.
At the Bluebird Theater in Denver, Colorado. That'll be that's forthcoming here. A new studio album will be. It's going to be a little bit. We will be going into the studio this year, earlier part, I believe. If not, it might be confirmed. It might not, but
early
this year.
Yeah.
And I would hope. I can't give you a timeline, but I will tell you that we're very excited about the material that we have for it. Really can't wait to get it into the studio. Big part of that is of getting it ready, though. We like to really let them simmer.
Right.
So I like to think of it as a distilling in many ways, where you have this potential of a song, and then, like I was talking about, every night we play these tunes, there's something different might happen.
Uh-huh.
And then those little changes, some of them fade away, some of them stay, and that's how the distilling process goes with the tunes. But slowly but surely, they become what they will be, and we're really excited to show you what they will be.
So the question is, this is material that you're playing on the road, and you're trying stuff out and distilling the parts that you like, and you know, using the road as a testing ground for some of these songs, or do you bottle them up and hold on to them and then test them once the record's released?
Our current model is that we are refining them on the road and playing people. Someday I would love to be able to keep some stuff secret and that is our, you know, and release it. Never been heard before. Here you go. But the heart of the Little Smokies is live performance.
Yeah.
And we love it more than anything. I've never done anything that provided that kind of satisfaction and gratification. The thrill of the stage is unlike anything, and so it'll always be the heart of the band. And we use it, like you said, to refine those tunes, and we really enjoy that.
Our conversation will continue in just a bit. Off the top of the show, though, I told you about Cushco Holdings. They are, by the way, a publicly traded company under the ticker KSHB and the parent to innovative cannabis industry leaders such as Kush Supply Company, Kush Energy, The Hybrid Creative, and Coletto Packaging Solutions. They are doing amazing things aside from sponsoring our show. You should check out their website at cushco.com/podcast for more information. Now, back to the show. The other thing that's at the heart of the Little Smokies experience is your fan base. Are you surprised at the level of the fan base at this point? I know that you've only been in the band for 3 years now, but are you surprised at there are, you know, some fairly rabid fans of the Little Smokies, many of whom have written to tell us that we needed to have you on the show. Are you surprised at the activity around this band and the fandom around this band and around the genre as a whole right now?
I am. It continually blows me away, and it's one of the more inspirational and heartwarming things that has ever happened in my life, to see people from all over the country. In some cases, you know, we're talking about Canada here, Mexico, you see them down there. There are people from all over the place that come to see us play. And you find them in places where you would not expect. And, I couldn't be more grateful and appreciative of that. It means the world to me. There are people who are keeping track of how many shows they've been to and writing down the set lists of all their shows. I never imagined, always hoped for these things, but never imagined that they would come true, that you have people who would spend their time and money religiously to come support us. Without them, it would not be possible. And I'm so grateful and humbled by their support.
In just a little bit now, in about a week, you get on the road, and you're on the road literally for the next 4 months, I think. What's that going to be like? Living in a van, I assume, and living in tight quarters with the other four guys? that fun? Is it still exhilarating to get out on the road and play all of these dates and live kind of, you know, like you said, worrying about your next meal, not the next week of meals? Is that fun?
It is the greatest joy I've ever experienced. I really wouldn't have it any other way. And I live a fairly transient life when I'm off the road too. The last time I had a lease was 1,026 days ago, I believe. I only know because I just did a little analysis. At this point, I live to be on the road. Where I find my, it's my happiest place. And obviously it's not all good. There are some rough times out there. There are some mornings where you've not had enough sleep for a week in a row, week straight, you know, where you have to get into this van. You have to, you know, first thing in the morning, here's 6 hours, and then you show up and you got to hurry and play a show. And it gets difficult, but every single night, the second you step on stage, every single concern that I have vanishes. Mm-hmm. Any conflicts you're having with the group, obviously we never argue or fight
course,
or ever have
right.
a rough time. But of course, you know, that would be crazy. Any concerns that you're having there melt away.
Yeah.
Because it does get lonely out there on the road sometimes. Loneliness disappears.
Right.
It is, like I said, the greatest joy of my life, and it relieves all your stress. Everything is just gone the instant you step on that stage, which is magic, and I'm so grateful for it.
You know, we've talked about we've talked to some other bands of your ilk, of your maturity, let's say, in terms of the business, and I am always curious to find out if you guys, or if you as an individual, talk to members of, you know, Green Sky or the Dusters about life on the road, you know, and dealing with all of the trappings of being on the road, and the loneliness, and the living at quick service restaurants, and not getting enough sleep, and all of that. Is that something that you ask advice of from either fellow people that you're touring with, or veterans of said road, about how to do it and how to do it well?
Well, in the case of, say, the infamous String Dusters, Green Sky, Yonder, Leftover, they are a constant source of aid and inspiration and lessons. The ability to talk to them about these things has been life-changing. The knowledge and the years of experience they have is incredible, and their willingness to help you in any way they can is outstanding. They're some of the finest people I know, and this entire genre is built of some of the finest people I've ever met. We all serve in some way as part of a support group for each other too.
Right.
I've had some. We were down in Mexico at Strings and Soul recently, and. Mm-hmm. The number of heart-to-heart conversations between musicians who have all gone through the same thing was astonishing. I was able to have so many helpful conversations with all the people you're talking about, because they know so much. They've done everything we're doing, and the encouragement and support we get from them is phenomenal.
You are playing Red Rocks coming up. I'm sure you can't wait to play in September. Is that one of the biggest stages that you'll play on in terms of, you know, the aura of the stage and just the sheer majesty of the place? Have you played there before? I don't even know if you've played there before.
No, and I've never even been there personally. I cannot wait for that. It was something, when you said that, I know that I'm playing Red Rocks, but when you just said, you know, so you're playing Red Rocks, every time you hear it, it's a whole different, like, it kind of shakes you a little bit, like, man, I am going to play Red Rocks. I'm not going to say that you become numb to different benchmarks and achievements,
right.
But it does. There is a desensitization. I think I almost got that out.
Yeah, you did.
That occurs where, you know, you hear these announcements and you know, a younger you would be shaking you saying, you know, congratulations, how did you ever pull this off? And sometimes these amazing accomplishments become not lackluster by any means, but you lose sight of the accomplishment.
Right.
And so hearing it every now and again is really helpful. Like, you are playing Red Rocks and you've wanted this for your entire life. It's actually happening. And I don't know that it's settled in, that the full impact of that has set in for me, that I am, that we are going to be playing Red Rocks. It might not until we get onto that stage.
Right.
The level of I don't know. Let's see. How do you put it?
Enormity, I guess. I guess the enormity.
The enormity, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll fully be realized until we play. But I'm thrilled. My mother's very happy. She's always been very happy for me, though.
Yeah. That's great. Hey, man, thank you so much for taking the time. We're psyched to see you. You're coming up to Toronto, and we're psyched to see you here in just a couple weeks. So glad that we were able to chat, and hopefully we'll be able to meet face-to-face. But thank you for the music, and thank the rest of the band for the music. And Paperback Writer is absolutely beautiful, and we're psyched for the live record, and we're psyched for everything, and can't wait to hear about your time in Red Rocks and the rest of the tour. And so congratulations on making it this far, and keep on keeping on, as they say. And we'll be watching for you and listening for your music, and thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate it.
It's really great hearing from artists who are so appreciative of their lot in life and the fans that are helping their career along. Rev and all of the Little Smokies are super talented songwriters, players, and live performers. There is so much great content for you to check out on their website at thelilsmokies.com, including their crazy tour schedule. Before we leave you, have a listen to their great cover of Paperback Writer from the Beatles.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.